Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, a good Friday evening to you. Anthony Rendon, Trey Turner, Joe Ross agreeing to deals. Rendon, about 15 minutes ago, $18 million avoiding arbitration. The Nationals also have a new second baseman. It's not official yet. Official. But it's going to happen. Brian Dozier, 1 year, $9 million deal. And we're still waiting on Bryce Harper to make his decision. Joining us now is the voice of the Washington Nationals. You hear him throughout the baseball season on 106.7 The Fan. Got to catch up with him at Nats Winterfest, and nice of him to create some time for us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. It is the great Charlie Slows. Hello, Charlie. How are you?
How are you, Rooster? What's going on?
I'm just trying to slay the dragons with the Redskins over here, Charlie. And, I'm just waiting for normal sports organizations to once again come back into play. You know, ones that try and do things right and don't always get everything perfect, but they're right in the thick of things most years. And, you know, they try real hard, Charlie, you know, like the Nationals.
Yeah, well, I think you kind of got like Spot from the Munsters under the staircase there.
How's your off season going?
Pretty good.
Excellent.
Some downtime, but you know, as soon as you get past New Year's and you start to see these arbitration dates and the countdowns to pitchers and catchers reporting, it doesn't feel like it's far away. And all of a sudden, I'm scrambling to the list of things that I wanted to get done around the house this off season that I kept saying, I'll do that next week.
You better start checking off the honey-do list, no doubt about it. All right, let's start with this. We mentioned some of the arbitration cases. Trey Turner gets his deal done. Rendon just announced by the team about 15 minutes ago. So all of that is good, normal type stuff. I don't think there's any surprises there or anything that you were concerned about in any regard in those areas. I know they have a couple of unresolved cases, but they still have a ways to go before they actually have to have the arbitration hearings. Nothing jumps out to you alarming or surprising in any of those, right?
No, in most cases, even if they couldn't come to an agreement today on the last day to offer arbitration, almost everybody settles and never goes to arbitration because neither side really comes out of that feeling very good, whichever way it goes. There's usually a bad taste left if they end up going to the arbitration table and have to say not so good things about the other side.
Yeah, you don't want that.
In order to win.
Yeah, you don't want that. It's kind of an ugly, unnecessary evil, and usually cooler heads prevail and you can get things settled. And again, the Nationals attacking some of these even before it gets deep into the process. All right, let's get to some good stuff, though, because I'm really curious. When I last saw you, that day I had Wilmer Defoe on. I think you had left by that point. And we were kind of all asking the question, well, okay, they've got the catching situation solved now. We still don't know about Bryce. I guess they're going to turn to the back end of the rotation, which they did, of course, by adding, not the back end, Patrick Corbin, which we'll get to in a sec, but also doing some other things. And then second base was a major question. What were they going to do? Was it Kendrick? And was it Kendrick and Defoe, or were they going to get somebody from out of the organization? And then they go and do a one-year, $9 million deal with Dozier. He's got pop. He can play defense. I assume this is going to work out really well, especially if they get the 2017 Dozier as opposed to the guy that struggled a little bit last year.
Now, the 2018 Dozier was hurt. He had a bone bruise in his left knee. He's never been on the disabled list in his career and did not want to sit it out. So I think it affected his numbers greatly. If you look at his career, last year's his only down year. So you have to take that into account. If he wasn't healthy and tried to play through it, it certainly would affect. He talked about, it's his right-handed hitter. his weight couldn't go through on that left knee. Mm-hmm. So it affected him hitting wise. It affected his power. He said it affected his ability to be able to lift the ball. And I would think if you got a bad knee and you're playing middle infield, it's not going to be too good for you for your lateral movement either.
Right.
So if he's 100% healthy, I would take the track record of what he did prior to last year and think that's closer to what you're going to get this year. And even in a bad year where he didn't hit for average, he still hit 21 home runs, which I guess these days is not a big deal, but still, it wasn't like he hit six. You know
right.
what I mean?
Right. No, absolutely. I mean, he is absolutely known for his pop, and he doesn't look like the prototypical power hitter, but he can certainly turn on one. And the other, I guess, side benefit to this is not only does it kind of reduce some of the pressure on both Defoe and Kendrick not from a talent or skill perspective, from a health and recovery perspective, but it also adds to the bench and the depth. And now you have both Defoe and Kendrick, and especially Kendrick, with versatility coming off your bench or if an injury pops up where they can easily slide in.
Right. When you traded for him, you never had it in mind that he's going to be your everyday second baseman or play maybe as much as he did in the outfield. Now coming off a torn Achilles where he's just getting into a running program, we don't really know 100% mm-hmm. what he's going to be like come spring training and the start of the regular season. Now you're not pushing for him to be ready to play, you know, a lot of games, a lot of innings at second base. You now have the luxury to use him as your key right-handed late-inning bat off the bench. Also a guy you can double switch into an extra inning game or a situation where you need to double switch earlier than that because he can play more than one position. And so now you have the ability to use Defoe at second, short, and third. If you need to, you can use Kendrick at second and third, and he's played first. And, of course, you know he can play left field. So it gives you bench players who can play multiple positions, which is great because you had to think that they were going to do something like this. The talk was before they re-signed Matt Adams to back up Ryan Zimmerman and, you know, play against some really hard throwing right-handers at first base. They talked about, well, if they signed somebody, they wanted to be someone who could play first and second and right. be a left-handed hitter. Well, Matt Adams isn't that. He's played left field, but really he's a one position guy. Mm-hmm. And now you can use him in the role that you want him to spot Zimmerman and you wanted him to be the big left-handed bat off the bench. You have that. You have Dozier. You can Kendrick and Defoe as your bench players, or Defoe can be the backup to Trey Turner at short. And I would think, you know, Defoe 2 years ago when he played for Turner for about 2 months did okay. I think last year when he had to play a lot more, you know, maybe he was overexposed. Maybe he's not ready to be an everyday player in the big leagues despite some past success. So now you have the luxury to use him however you want, and he also has options left if you need to send him to the minor leagues if you have to make other moves.
Charlie Slow is with us, the voice of the Washington Nationals, along with Dave Jagler here on The Fan and the Nationals Radio Network. He joins us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. All right, before we get to Bryce, the other thing that they did, in addition to locking up Corbin, which we didn't know exactly at the time when I last saw you at Nats Winterfest, they get that done, but then they also trade Tanner Roark and bring in Anibal Sanchez. And Sanchez, for those not that familiar, has always been a very productive and has always done a pretty good job against the Nats, especially including last year back in the National League for the Atlanta Braves.
Yeah, he's one of those guys, those type of pitchers that throw off speed and could really mix it up and locate that give the Nats just a ton of trouble. Mm-hmm. They've always been a better hitting team against the hard throwers, and maybe that's the case for everybody. And Anibal Sanchez, 2 years ago, looked like his career was near being over.
Yeah.
After he went to Detroit, initially okay those first few years, but really slid the last couple of years, and then was let go. And then the Twins cut him in spring training last year. So he was a late end of spring, just before the season, signing by the Braves to see what they could get out of the number five spot in their rotation. The Nats saw him early. His first appearance of the year was out of the bullpen against them, because the Braves didn't need a fifth starter at that point. But every other time they saw him and he started against them, I mean, he was really nasty. And, you know, then you had to look at him over the course of the season, how he pretty much rebuilt himself as a different pitcher. using off speed, using a cutter, and really working on pitch sequencing, and crediting Kurt Suzuki, who caught him a lot, for a lot of that. So, and there's the other guy, Suzuki, who just destroyed the Nationals the last 2 years. Huge home runs in big games, particularly last year. So if you can't beat them, join them. They get both of those guys on their side. It's not a bad thing. Of course, Suzuki will team with Gomes behind the plate.
Right.
Offensively, catching was a huge hole the past couple of years. Now that looks like it'll be a strength. And, you know, you look at last year with Wieters not able to stay healthy. You were playing Keyboom and Severino a lot. Now you're looking at those two guys, maybe, you know, Fresno and one at Harrisburg being closer in case you need to get a catcher in a hurry if somebody gets nicked up. Now you have depth at that position where maybe you didn't have a lot of it last year. So, I mean, there are a lot of layers that come as the result of the moves that Mike Rizzo and his staff were able to make so far this offseason.
Charlie Slow is the voice of the Washington Nationals here on the Fan, Nationals Radio Network, of course, getting ready for the 2019 baseball. It's been a good offseason for Mike Rizzo and the Nationals as they try and get back into the playoffs. It would be an even better one if they can somehow get Bryce Harper back. What's your gut tell you with the with the Phillies meeting with him, I guess right now and tomorrow in Vegas? I've heard the White Sox are still very much involved in this, even though some things have quieted down on that front publicly. And, of course, the Nationals are still very much in pursuit. What's your gut instinct tell you?
Gut instinct laughs at some of the stories, because if you read everything, we all read everything, and the national writers all trying to be one up on each other what they can put out there, and then you read, well, Harper all along he's only wanted to be a Dodger, and then you hear, well, Harper said he's wanted to be a Yankee. Have you ever heard him say either of those things? In fact, this offseason you haven't heard him say anything. The last thing you've heard Harper say was the last weekend of the season when he said, I'd love to stay a National, but it's not up to me. We'll see what happens. That's the last thing he was heard said. Mm-hmm. He's never publicly said anything. And the reactions to him, if he likes something on Instagram, whether it's him out with Chris Bryant and his wife for New Year's or whatever it was, or he likes an Instagram photo of himself with Soto and Robles, or that must mean that's where he's going.
Yeah,
that's,
there was a report of the Dodgers, you know, being interested in him, and he liked that, and everybody got into a tizzy about that.
Or the best one was the Dodgers visited Bryce in Vegas and sent Magic Johnson there to recruit him.
Right.
And then Magic comes out the next day and says, I wasn't there. In fact, I've only spoken to him one time ever. I was introduced to him on the field a couple of years ago during the playoffs. That was it. Never spoken to him. Never been in the same room with him. You know, it's interesting. The day of the Patrick Corbin press conference, I interviewed Mark Lerner for television, and then he appeared on with Grant and Danny. He did not say the same things to me that he said to them. He said, well, you know, we haven't spoken to them since the end of the season, and they may have moved on, and if they come back, I don't know what we'll be able to offer, depending on how we're trying to put a team together. And then Mike was saying, oh, no, the door's not closed. We don't close any doors. We love Bryce. He's been our player. We've groomed him, brought him this far from the time he was drafted. And, you know, that day I'm saying that was odd, but, you know, one could be posturing and the other one is saying the same thing that he always says. So I don't rule out anything. And the meeting that Scott Boras has with Ted Lerner at his house happens every winter, his winter home out in Palm Springs.
Right.
A little different if you bring Bryce with you, though. That's different.
That is a little bit different. Hey, tell those Tampa Bay Lightning to calm down. They're too damn good, all right?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, I've been watching a lot of hockey down here in Florida, and I watch the Caps and the Lightning sometimes in the same night.
same with
split,
me.
Split screen.
Yep.
And I'm predicting, and I know Vic's listening, producing. Slick Vic, who produces our Nationals broadcast. That'll be a hell of an Eastern Conference final rematch, probably better than the Stanley Cup Finals if those two teams meet again, because I think the Caps are better on their experience, and I think Tampa Bay is a deeper team with some of the moves they made. And the trade last year with the Rangers, I don't think really had the effect, because McDonough was hurt for a chunk of the year.
Right.
He's been phenomenal. So you have him and Hedman back there, and they've got some really good defense and four lines. They may be peaking too early, like the entire season they've been peaking, and probably splitting up Stamkos and Kucherov makes them even better on different lines. I don't know, they look really hard to beat.
It's crazy. I watch them a lot. Yeah, I watch them a lot too. I mean, you're not over exaggerating. They are insane.
They were shut out last night for 57 minutes.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I know.
Against Carolina and won the game in regulation.
And that's a pretty good young Carolina team. It's not a great team. It's a pretty good young Carolina team who just beat a red-hot Islander team on Tuesday night. So, I mean, nothing to scoff at. And Kucherov is just unbelievable. Some of the passing that they're passing inside the offensive zone is great. I could talk hockey. Can you come back on and talk hockey one time, like for a full segment instead of the Nats? Can we do that?
Yeah, anytime you want. I love hockey. That's the sport. In the winter, that's what I watch all winter long. I love watching hockey. For Tampa Bay, if they can play physical in the playoffs, that's going to be the difference for them.
You're my guy. Appreciate it. Tell Alex I said hello, okay?
I will. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Charlie. I'll see you in a little bit, okay?
You got it.
That's Charlie Sloes on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Appreciate him coming aboard on a Friday night. Vic, I can't put him on hold. I don't know what's going on with this stupid phone board. Sorry about that. My apologies. Thank you very much to the voice of the Nationals, Charlie Sloes. How about that? A little hockey breakdown, a little Tampa Bay Lightning, Washington Capitol talk right here on the Fan. Whew, that is going to be a tough, tough, tough rematch if indeed the two teams meet up in the Stanley Cup playoffs on the Fan. All right, good to have you aboard with us. Thanks very much to Charlie Sloes, voice of the Nationals, coming on with us. Talk about all of the happenings that the Nationals are involved in, including settling arbitration hearings and, potential arbitration hearings, I should say, with Anthony Rendon, Trey Turner today. Rendon getting $18 million. Trey Turner, I think, it was like $3.7 million. Still have a couple of other guys to work on. Obviously signing, they've just agreed right now reportedly to a 1-year, $9 million deal with Brian Dozier. And we talked about that and potentially Bryce Harper. I would just, add to what we discussed with Charlie. I would not rule out in any way, shape, or form the Chicago White Sox. I know he's going to meet with the Phillies. I think they're having dinner tonight and then going to have some substantial meetings tomorrow. And I know all the baseball insiders, and I'm not one and I don't claim to be one, say it's pretty much the Nats and the Phillies and haven't really been buzzing about the White. Always remember, just because you don't hear about it in the media doesn't mean it's not happening. And I was told by somebody pretty dialed in that the White Sox have made a substantial offer recently to Bryce Harper. And there's a chance, again, I don't know if he's going to do it. I don't know if he's going to take it. There's a chance that Bryce Harper is going to sign that deal. And I would even say there's a decent chance. Again, I don't know what he's ultimately going to do because he's going to get more money from the White Sox or the Phillies than the Nationals. So then it becomes a matter of whether he re-signs where he's comfortable and where home has been, or whether he takes the more money or the most amount of money. I believe he will get the most amount of money from the White Sox. I don't know that for sure. Don't know what the Phillies are going to offer or have offered or are planning on adjusting their offer to. I don't know if the Nationals are going to go up again. It was reported by Jim Bowden, former Nats GM, current baseball analyst for a number of different outlets just a couple of weeks ago, that the Nationals had upped their offer from their original offer. There's been talk about a shorter-term deal with an opt-out. There's all sorts of possibilities here. I was pretty much dead set when this started on thinking there's no way Bryce was going to sign anything more than a 10-year type deal. And I had heard that him and his wife just wanted to find a new home where they could settle down and where they thought they were going to spend the rest of their formative years and grow a family and all that good stuff. Could happen. I mean, but he'd be crazy to not try and get an opt-out in case it doesn't work out for him, especially if he's going to sign in Philadelphia, especially if he's going to sign with the Chicago White Sox. And it appears those three teams, the Nationals, the Phillies, and the White Sox, are the final three contenders for Bryce Harper. I know I had spread some propaganda about the Arizona Diamondbacks throughout the season, just kind of like, hey, don't forget about the Diamondbacks. Don't forget. Bryce, from what I was told, very much wanted to go play for the Arizona Diamondbacks. The problem was the Diamondbacks didn't want to pay that price or didn't even really want to get involved in that, which is their option. You know, Bryce wants to be closer to home, and he wants to be in a good situation. And Chase Field, hitter's ballpark, 3 hours away from Vegas, great weather, he hates the rain, all that stuff. Of course he wanted to play there. Dodgers never really seemed all that interested. I mean, I think they were casually interested. If I'm a betting man, I think Bryce says no to the Philadelphia Phillies because I don't think he wants the adversarial relationship with the fan base there, the media. Gabe Kapler's a little bit of a lunatic. And on top of that, I don't think he wants any part of 18 games a year against the Nationals and having to come back here to Nationals Park three times a year. I don't think he wants that. I mean, because if things don't go right for him in Philadelphia, he's getting booed in his hometown or in his home ballpark, and he's getting booed here. That's a lot of pressure to deal with. At least when you go, if you go to the White Sox, nobody's going to think you can win. Everyone's going to say it was a money grab. But you don't have to deal with coming back here. Yeah, once every couple of years or whatever. You don't have to deal with coming back here. You have a very, very young team. You know some of their young pieces because the Nationals did a big trade with them. They've got a hell of a farm system. I think the White Sox are a very, 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 very legitimate suitor and possibility for Bryce Harper. Do I know what he's going to do? Absolutely not. Do I know he's struggling with the decision? Yeah. I would be too. Because, you know, at some point you say, what the hell's the difference between $350 million and $325 million? Let's just use arbitrary numbers, right? What the hell's the difference? There really is no big difference, right? I think BK quipped about this, $30 million between friends. You know? I mean, to us, it's a big deal. When you're making $300-plus million guaranteed, assuming that it's all guaranteed, meaning the opt-out, you know, how that's structured and all that, and the deferrals and all that. But, I mean, we know baseball contracts are guaranteed, right? So a lot of it's going to be guaranteed in some way, shape, or form. You know, it's a big decision when you're talking about potentially signing a 10 or a 12 or an 11-year deal or whatever it is to commit to that city, to commit to that organization, to commit to the owner, to commit to all of the expectations. And I think in Chicago, as weird as this is, with the White Sox, not the Cubs, the White Sox, there is a much lower expectation and much lower pressure right away on Bryce Harper. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Talk about that as well. We'll get back to the Redskins in just a couple of minutes on The Fan. All right, thanks to BK, Byron Kerr, and Craig Heist for the latest sports flash. Heist are over at Capital One Arena, where I'll be tomorrow night for the Caps and the Blue Jackets, but I have a show from noon to 4 tomorrow here on The Fan. Before that, Maryland up now 56-50. BK was telling you they were down significantly in the first half, made a big charge, and now again up. Check it now, up 9. We just hit a three-pointer with 7:45 left to go against number 22, Indiana at 12-3. Maryland 13-3 entering tonight's action. So up 9 with 7.5 minutes left to go over at College Park. Meanwhile, the Wizards up 77. Just hit a three, so now make it 80-72. Wizards just hitting a three, so that's good, even though the Bucks don't have Giannis Antetokounmpo. I can never say his name. The Greek Freak, baby! Antetokounmpo.
I thought it was like Antetokounmpo, but then I heard it pronounced differently.
Yeah. I don't think it's as simple as Antetokounmpo. What did you say?
Antetokounmpo.
Antetokounmpo? But I can't even say that.
I don't even know if that's right.
Wait, say it again.
Antetokounmpo.
Antetokounmpo. Antetokounmpo.
I don't even know if that's even right.
No, it's not. I can tell you.
Antetokounmpo.
Antetokounmpo. I can't even say it. Antetokounmpo is not right. I can tell you that.
So then what's the... You know what? We should call Nick Ashew. I'm sure he's on his phone right now waiting for this game to end.
Yeah, he can say it.
Have him call in.
He's Mr. NBA. I don't know. You have his number. I don't have his number. He doesn't like me. He's a big TV star. He doesn't like me. You two gang up and conspire against me.
I'm going to miss Nick when I go to Chad Duke's show.
Oh, yeah. Some big station news here, huh? JT the Vic getting out of nighttime. He said, no, you know, I don't want to work at night with you scoundrels. With you idiots, with you morons, I'm just going to go work an afternoon drive.
I don't have to deal with you anymore.
Yeah, like I'm so difficult to deal with. I ask you for so much.
Hey, you don't have to worry about me pulling any clips of you saying something outrageous.
That is true. That is true. I say a lot of outrageous things.
I mean, there was one earlier in the show, but I don't know if that's suitable for air.
Yeah, I don't think it's as bad as I don't think it's as bad as you and Blue Shorts are making it out to be. I mean, I say a lot of stupid things. I don't say a lot of things right. I don't think it's as bad as you're making it out to be. I really don't. All right, so the Wizards, now that lead has shrunk back down to 4 with 2.5 minutes left to go in the third quarter. At Capital One Arena, Giannis Antetokounmpo. The Greek Freak, baby. He is not playing for the Milwaukee Bucks. So, Otto Porter with a couple of three balls here in the last couple of moments. So, that's good for him. That is important to see, no doubt about it. I mean, bottom line, look, I know people are down on the Wizards, but find a way. Got to find a way when their best player is not playing. All right, so here's something really interesting, and then we'll get back to the calls. At Records and Radio on Twitter, which is one of the best Twitter feeds just because he finds just incredible stuff, he put up a snapshot or a picture or whatever of Twitter trends. Trending in USA, Bruce Allen, 1,749 tweets. Trending in VA, meaning Virginia, Dan Snyder, 1,176 tweets. I assume hashtag fire Bruce Allen is why there's so much and so many numbers and people behind Bruce Allen and why he's trending in the USA, because he's so powerful, and also because he got a re-promotion today. Good for Brucey. I mean, the continued ruination of the Washington Redskins. Listen, maybe I'm too hard. I'll admit I'll admit it is definitely a fault of mine that I am not more patient with Bruce Allen. I mean, after all, when you sit down and think about it again, right? They are one game under 500 in the last 4 years. They were 9-7 in 2015, 8-7-1 in 2016, and 7-9 the last 2 years. So just some quick math, right? They were three games over 500 in 2015 and 2016 combined, and they're four games under 500 in 2017 and 2018 combined. So they're one game under 500 in the last 4 years. So I should probably be nicer to Bruce Allen. I should probably be nicer to him. Just like I should also be nicer to Hollywood Nick Ashew, who is...
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Decided to give us a call, probably because Gary Carter was listening and told him we were talking about him on the radio. What's up, Hollywood?
No, Gary is not listening to you. I just heard that you can't pronounce Giannis Antetokounmpo, so I figured I'd call in real quick and make sure you get it right.
You know I cannot pronounce his name. How the hell do you say this stupid guy's name?
Well, first off, he's not stupid. He's probably going to be the league MVP, so maybe you should watch who you're calling stupid there, Rooster.
Yeah, well, I can still call him stupid. It's a loving term. It's a term of endearment.
Well, you call me it all the time, so I hope that's what it is.
Exactly. That's a good point. That's probably the most salient point you're going to make. Yeah.
No, I make every point I make is salient. How dare you? That is insulting, and it hurts my feelings.
I don't know. I'm sorry.
I'm glad that I could come in, though, and hearing you rant about Bruce. I figured that was going to be the majority of what you're talking about tonight.
Yeah.
I miss these nights when I don't get to come in there and do the show with you
because
you're screaming about Bruce, and this is when you're at your best, when you're screaming about Bruce Allen.
I really haven't screamed all that much tonight. I've been forceful at times. I've been blunt at times. I haven't exactly spit out everything the exact perfect way that I want, but I think I've made some very valid, legitimate points, but I haven't been too bad tonight. But I really wanted to know how you pronounce Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Say it again. What is it? How do you say it?
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
You have to be better at it than that. Come on.
All right. Giannis.
Yeah. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Pumpo.
Start slow. Giannis. Antetokounmpo.
Antetokounmpo.
There you go.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Sort of. There's more of an emphasis on the first syllable. But you're close enough there.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Now you've just botched it. It's
Giannis.
Just call him Giannis. Don't even try anymore.
How about,
Greek freak and Giannis.
I can just call him the Greek freak and everybody knows what I'm talking about, right?
That's really honestly what you have to do. It's totally fine.
Is he really going to win the MVP?
Yeah, he's having a fantastic year. The Bucks have the best record in the NBA right now. So you got to think too, Chris, if you look back on the voting history in the NBA, they really like to not vote for the same person every single year.
Yes.
So, like, the fact that Harden won it last year, despite the fact he's having a really great year again, Milwaukee's 29-11. And they've got the best win percentage in the NBA. Not by much. I mean, Denver's really good right now, and Toronto's really good. It's just weird to see the top of the NBA standings, Milwaukee, Toronto, and Denver.
I was just thinking that. Toronto's been good, obviously, for a couple of years. And we all knew Milwaukee was getting good, and Denver was good last year.
Right.
But you're right. You don't expect to see that. All right, so the Wizards are, what are they up? Last check was 4. Is that what they're still up by? They're in a commercial.
85-82 at the end of the third quarter.
All right, on NBC Sports Washington, and about a half an hour roughly after the Wizards and the Bucks, without Giannis Antetokounmpo in the lineup, the potential league MVP, you can watch Wizards Outsiders.
There you go. And don't forget, we're doing the Predict the Game broadcast on NBC Sports Washington Plus tonight. So if you switch over to NBC Sports Washington Plus, you get to have an interactive experience with the game. It's the first time it's been done. Nobody else is doing this around the country. It's
a really cool thing
tonight.
I was going to say, I heard you mention it. Now, is that the whole gambling thing, right? Or the odds and all that stuff that you guys have been...
Yeah, now this is more of just like, you know, is Bradley Beal going to score 20 points by halftime, yes or no type of deal. But for anybody that wants to watch it, you're also entered automatically to win $500, which is pretty cool. And it's free.
What's interesting, and I'm glad you brought this up because I forgot to ask you, I was watching the show on when did the Wizards play last? Wednesday night.
Wednesday.
Yeah, I guess it was.
Yeah.
I was watching, because I took a little picture of you guys, and I was trying to bust your chops, and you didn't really fall for it. But I was watching the pre and the post, and I heard you mention that. So this is really kind of, like you said, a new wave of television and viewing a basketball game. I'm sure it'll be folded into hockey or whatever. And my guess is, and I could be wrong on this, so you tell me, maybe you don't know. Ted Leonsis, who obviously has a stake in NBC Sports Washington, in whatever the way, he's very big into the whole game. So this has got to be kind of a brainchild of his, right? Or no?
This is more of, as far as I know, this is more of in-house in here and where the idea started. But this is a concept that's been talked about for a while. It's just now that sports betting has become something that's much more prevalent and it's going to be legalized in more states. Everybody's looking for new ways to incorporate that into broadcast and just make broadcast more entertaining. I mean, you're watching the broadcast like you would. We're sitting here watching in the lounge right now, but on top of that, it's which team will be the first to score 100 points, the Wizards or Bucks. And you go to NBCSportsWashington.com/predict, and you automatically do it. And there's lots of questions throughout the game. You have a chance to win $500. It's a cool way to watch it. And you have the box scores up there and the money line. There's a leaderboard up there for people that are near the top. I mean, it's a really cool experience. And this is the first time it's been done, too. So there'll be certainly more layers added to it as things go on. But it's a really, really unique experience.
Hey, Vic, did you notice that Hollywood Nick asked you, said, we're sitting here in the lounge. In the lounge. That's what TV stars say.
I wish we had a lounge.
Do you have your own green room at NBC Sports Washington?
Yeah, it kind of is. It kind of is basically a green room here, yeah.
No,
so.
Your own green room. No,
we definitely don't have that.
It's because he has a trailer. He has a trailer, doesn't he?
Oh, he has a trailer in Bethesda?
It's parked out on the street right now. That's where I'm going home to sleep there tonight instead.
I forgot. Did you know this? The Wizards were 0-9 on Friday nights before tonight. I guess they're still 0-9 on Fridays.
Unless this changes. They're only up by 3 right now. But, they've had some weird games on Friday nights. They've also had weird third quarters, which was the problem for them tonight, where they put themselves in a position where they have a nice big lead, and then they were 40-26 at the end of the first quarter. I mean, they put on work early, but it's as the game's gone on, Milwaukee's still hanging on, even without Giannis. Milwaukee's got a lot of talent behind them, but, you know, they put up 35. Milwaukee put up 35 in the third, and that closed the gap a lot for them. So, 3-point lead right now for the Wizards.
My guy, Nick Ashew, watch him with Wes Hall, another one of my guys, even though nobody likes me anymore. They're on Wizards Outsiders about a half an hour after the Wizards and the Milwaukee Bucks wraps up on NBC Sports Washington, and also check out NBC Sports Washington Plus. Thank you, Hollywood. Appreciate it.
All right, Rooster. I'll see you next week.
All right. See you, pal. Enjoy. That is my guy, Nick Ashew. He is a star in the making. Actually, he's already made. I mean, trust me, when I say he's Hollywood, he's Hollywood. Trust me on this. I know he's Hollywood. That guy, he's got shine. He's got shine. So debonair, so good looking, dreamy.
I think you have a secret man crush
for
Nick Ashew. Yeah.
You think so?
Yep.
Perhaps. I mean, I'm just being complimentary towards one of my colleagues. I mean, I'm bitterly jealous of his success and envious.
Well, you can be just like Nick Ashew once you finish your EMP 180.
Yeah. No, I could. It's just going to take me about a year and a half, maybe, to be as good looking as Nick Ashew.
Would you wait? Guaranteed, if you look like Nick Ashew in a year and a half, take that in a heartbeat.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. All right, we are way late for a break. Sorry about that. We're just kind of off kind of schedule, but, you know, good content is good content. We will get back to you, I promise, on the phones at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. As we keep you company on this Friday night, it is Overtime on The Fan. talked a bunch of Nationals earlier this half, or earlier this hour, I should say, with the great Charlie Slows. So we kind of broke away from the Redskins, but we can get certainly back into that right now. Look, we all ask the question, what does Dan Snyder see in Bruce Allen? Why does Dan Snyder believe so much in Bruce Allen? Does Bruce Allen have dirty pictures of Dan Snyder? Does Bruce Allen have dirty secrets on Dan Snyder? That's how Robert Klemko from the MMQB wondered the same thing flippantly with Dukes yesterday. He did. I think he was joking. I'm all thrown off by the fact that Jason Bishop is here at 9 o'clock on a Friday night. I'm like, wait a second. Can we get Bish in? Can he come in? Can he hear me? I don't know where he went. Go get him, Vic. I just want to have one of the junkies on my show. I never asked them, but I just literally saw the studio lights go on in the junkie studio, and then I saw Jason Bishop walk right in front of the window. I was like, wait a second. I had to double check to make sure I was seeing that right, and Vic confirmed it. But we talk about the Redskins. Oh, there he is. Yeah. All right. This is what this is great.
What's up?
I mean, we go from Chad Dukes earlier to Hollywood Nick Cashew to one of the junkies.
What's going on, buddy?
Friday night. What's up, Bish?
How are you, man?
Good
I know
to
you're
see
shocked
you.
To see me.
What are you doing here?
I forgot my computer power cord in the studio this morning. And I can't
You had to come all the way back?
I'm so pissed.
Oh,
believe
Bish.
Me. It's the last thing I wanted to do.
But are you kidding?
I was trying to race in, race out, but I'll come talk to you for a little bit.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't mean to hold you up or anything.
That's okay. That's
so,
all right.
So what were you doing? Were you just hanging out, doing dinner and cocktails and whatever, and then you had to come all the way down to this?
I went to my daughter's high school's boys' varsity basketball game
tonight. Oh, okay.
Watched a half.
Uh-huh.
It was fine. It was good. And then I realized, holy smacks, I've forgotten my power cord for my computer. And I can't live without my computer.
You can't.
And my computer will die.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll die
you
tonight.
Can't. I mean, you can't.
So I'm like, oh, my gosh. So I actually, I called Chad Dukes earlier today. I texted him and I said, mm-hmm. Hey, call me before you leave the studio. And he just left. And he calls me on his way home because I wanted him to pick it up. And I would have drive to his place
right.
in Oakton. It's a little bit closer.
Right.
I was in a bind. I had to come down and get it, man.
I mean, you could have called the control room, and I would have met you.
I know, but I didn't want to bother anybody else.
At midnight, I mean, that would have gone well,
I was
right?
flying on the toll road, too. So what's going on? Big one for the Terps tonight, by the way.
Absolutely. I mean, 71-65 looks like they're going to hang on. They were down by, what, 10 or 8 or whatever
10 or 12 in the first half.
10 or 12, yeah, exactly, in the first half. So I was asking Byron Kerr this. I don't ever remember them playing on a Friday night at home, right? I know this is for national TV
purposes. It's the Big Ten thing.
Right, but I don't remember. I don't follow college basketball as much as you guys do, but I don't remember a lot of Friday night home games.
No, not in the ACC, but in the Big Ten, they have Friday nights. They have Friday night matchups. So.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a big win for them because now they're 5-1 in the conference if they hold on to this.
Absolutely.
And the Big Ten isn't that strong. So if you finish in the top 4 or 5, you should easily get to the tournament.
Yeah, and Maryland about to go 14-3.
Yep.
And obviously, like we said, pretty good in the conference with a 72-65 lead now, 41 and change left to go in the ball game there. Wizards up 98-92. Now, the Greek Freak ain't playing, so that's part of the reason. Otherwise,
that's
they'd probably be losing.
Yeah.
Or, but still, Milwaukee, pretty damn good team. Like, we had Nick Ashew on, who's, doing the Wizards outside of stuff. He was I don't watch that much regular season NBA. The Bucks, the Raptors, and the Nuggets are the top three teams in the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, the Bucks were, 29 and 12 or something coming
That's
in this?
That's crazy.
Now, did the Freak get hurt in the game, or
did he even start? No, he didn't even play.
Ah.
I think he had a concussion or something like that.
I wonder if Vegas knew that because the line was 5.5 and the total was 230.5.
I thought the boys in Vegas knew everything.
Maybe that was a late, was he a late scratch? Because I didn't hear about that.
I mean, he was listed as questionable. It was a quad.
Was
okay,
it?
I thought, sore quad.
Gotcha.
I misheard that. So he was like questionable or downgraded earlier in the day, and then officially ruled out before even pregame warmups. So you, speaking of Vegas, you have the podcast that I hear. What is Awad doing?
I don't know.
I know you don't want to talk about Awad.
He's got radio muscles.
But Awad, like every morning, he like finds a way to weasel his way on the air more and more and more and more.
Well, I blame Bickle because Bickle invites it.
Uh-huh.
He really does.
And
it's
you
not
hate
Awad.
It.
It's
you
not,
hate it, right?
I mean, I don't hate it, but I mean, enough's enough. I mean, when he's comparing his podcast to mine, look, I mean, it's not like we have 200,000 downloads, but you
I
know,
saw the I saw the numbers.
They're not bad.
You have a lot of numbers.
We could get better. But, you know, it's a niche podcast. If you're not a sports bettor, you're not going to be interested in it.
Yeah. See, I'm not a big gambler, but I've got to get more into it. I'm learning more and more and more about it because I just have no choice. I've just never been a big gambler. I was the only idiot. I used to do my show way back when for the now defunct Sports Fan Radio Network with, JT the Brick and the Fabulous Sports Babe and all that way back in the early 2000s. Out of Mandalay Bay Racing Sportsbook. You know how many? You know how many sports bets I've made, Bish? In my life?
I'm guessing zero.
None.
Wow.
None. I walked in and out of there every day.
So you lived in Vegas?
Oh, yeah.
And I would have been broke.
And again, worked in Mandalay Bay.
I love Mandalay Bay.
I love
it. We actually did a show from Mandalay Bay. We were out there covering...
In the Racing Sportsbook, right?
In the Racing Sportsbook.
So that's
Sportsbook.
The studio I used to do my show from.
Absolutely.
And back then, I don't know if it's changed, because I never even went there when I was there for the Stanley Cup Final in Vegas the two times. That you couldn't have internet in the racing, right? You can now have cell phones and all that stuff in a racing sports book, or no?
They probably have changed the rules, but you're right. Before, they could not.
Yeah.
But I remember doing a show. We were out there covering, it might have been the World Series of Poker.
Okay.
And we did a show from there, two shows from there. And, you know, we were doing morning, so we did it live.
Oh, 3 a.m.
So we did it 3 a.m. Man, that was rough.
Yeah.
But I miss Vegas. I got to get back. If I lived in Vegas, I would be broke. 100%, I would be broke.
I could see how that
would be. With my addictive personality?
See, me? Yeah. I'm tempted by the damn buffets. You're tempted.
I'm tempted by the sports book and the blackjack table.
Thanks for stopping by. I kept you too long.
No, it's okay,
I just wanted a junkie on my radio show.
You got it.
Anytime. I never get to have that, so I wanted Jason Bishop of the Junkies. When I saw you cross in front of my path, I said,
I know. It was shocking. I'm not usually here on a Friday night.
We got to take a picture for posterity.
<That's right. laughs>
The boys will love it. Jason Bishop, of course, sure you listen to the Junkies each and every weekday morning, 6 to 10 here on The Fan and as well NBC Sports Washington. Thanks to him for stopping by. As we keep you company on this Friday night, it is overtime on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.